The following podcast is sponsored by Crystal Glass, where windshield replacement and automotive glass repair has been a specialty for over six decades. Call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. This is Gross Misconduct.
Episode 16 of Gross Misconduct. My name is Andrew Gross. Across from me sits my wife, Carol. I have to tell you, Carol, that I already put out what I felt would be the title of this particular podcast, and the pushback was immediate. Mm-hmm. So originally, I was going to call the podcast People Behaving Badly. Mm-hmm. There's a certain theme to today's podcast, as you'll see as we go along. I changed it to Middle-Aged White Guys, and I know that this ties into a theory of yours. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the biggest snowflakes on the planet are middle-aged white guys.
They behave. I don't. Well, I wouldn't use the term snowflakes, but they do behave badly.
Well, do you remember when we were checking out Peter's Drive-In when it first opened? Mm-hmm. And we were in the parking lot of the hotel adjacent to Peter's Drive-In. And after watching people for a while and having a smoke and talking, we went to leave the parking lot. And you said, middle-aged white guy.
He won't let you in.
Right, and he wouldn't.
Middle-aged white guys will not let you in.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like they want to hold on to whatever territory they possess, even if it's just the area that their car's taking up. Like, no, you're not. What does he care if I get out of the parking lot? What does he care? I don't know. And then yesterday, Walmart. We went into Walmart yesterday to get our camping supplies ready to go, our food. And what did we see? Guy with his wife, she's wearing a mask. He's never seen a mask before and cannot figure out how it works. He puts one band over one ear and then it dangles and he tries to pull on it and he can't figure it out. And then he just, in frustration, puts it back in his pocket and walks into the Walmart. And what is he? Middle-aged white guy. Mm-hmm. It's just, I never noticed it before you pointed it out.
Yeah.
And now I can't stop seeing it.
It's everywhere.
It's really something. Anyways, we have listener questions this week. I put it out, said we had time for a few, and the first came in from James. James wants to know, and it's got to be a question for you, Carol, because it's certainly not a question for me. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, what kind of books do you read? Any particular authors you enjoy, and what's your favorite bookstore? Mm.
I read all kinds of books. There's nothing that I won't read. I do, in particular, like maritime disasters.
What?
I don't know why that.
I had no idea.
I do. If it's a shipwreck, if it's a, you know, anything.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
How did I not know that about you?
I've told you that before. Hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Awkward. Right.
There it is.
Authors. I've always been a huge fan of Stephen King.
Yeah.
We all know that. And favorite bookstore would be any bookstore.
Oh, no. Come on. It's the Wee Book Inn.
I do like the Wee Book Inn, but that's only used books. Yeah, my dream is to someday get to Portland, Oregon, and go to Powell's Books. Okay. Excuse me, Piper. Do you mind?
Yeah, the cats in this house are out of control. Just get her off the table.
Well, I'm she's under my microphone.
I know, but you tolerate this. Okay, like, just
no, don't take the cord with you.
Just get rid of the goddamn cat. Looks at me like I'm the problem. Anyway.
Okay, there we go. Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon.
And why is that?
It's like a huge bookstore. It's new and used. I think there's a really good bookstore in Seattle, too, but I'm not sure.
Well, do these bookstores have books that are different than the ones you'd say you'd see at, say, the airport bookstore?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, they're new and used.
Okay.
And, you know, they're, you know, just picture, you know, those big, like, fun bookstores.
Yeah.
I know you can't, but.
I can't. I like the Wee Book Inn because it has cats walking around.
I do like the cats there.
I also like the fact, it's one of my favorite memories. Do you remember some years ago we went down to the Wee Book Inn, and typically we used to do that from time to time. You would take all your older books or the books you'd read, and you'd take them to the Wee Book Inn, and whatever they would take in trade, you then would get another book or two. And then we would take whatever books they wouldn't take and trade over to the Cross Cancer Institute. And we went one night, which is another thing I like about the Wee Book Inn, because it's open at night. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think,
till midnight.
I think it was like a Friday or Saturday night. So White Ave was quite busy. And you recall there was these three really drunk girls walking down the street, high heels, short skirts, and we had stopped across the street from the Wee Book Inn so we could all have ice cream. Mm-hmm. This ring a bell at all?
Mm-hmm.
And as they're walking by, drunk, one of them stops and says, and I quote, "Everybody shut the fuck up while we figure this shit out." And for whatever reason, that has just stayed with me. I never found out what the problem was.
Well, I hope they figured it out.
I'm sure they did. They'd probably be in their mid to late 20s now. Clarice asks, for both of you, what are your top five musical groups of all time? Of course, easy for me, the Beatles at number one. Mm-hmm. Supertramp, you know, in there somewhere. The Eagles, the Rolling Stones, and Queen, I think, would be mine.
I'm definitely, the Eagles and Queen would be up there. CCR, huge fan.
Oh.
Prince.
Oh,
I'm a huge Prince fan.
I might take Supertramp out and put Prince in.
And you know what? I'm going to have to go with be super Canadian here.
Uh-huh.
Well, not super Canadian. Blue Rodeo.
Oh, I know. And do you remember when we had Jim Cuddy at the Comedy Festival? I can't recall why. But
yeah, I fangirled a little bit there.
Yes, you certainly did.
Yeah, I do love the Blue Rodeo.
Yeah. And then didn't we buy a charity package to go to Toronto and see Blue Rodeo and get backstage passes? And
yeah.
And we never did that.
No.
It's weird.
I'm not sure why. Well, oh, you gave my airfare to Dave or something like
that. I did, because Dave was having, he's married happily now with children, but he was having relationship problems, and she had returned to Toronto, and he couldn't afford the trip, and I said, just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Okay. Dan asks, I would like your opinion on the current student, I mean city council, but likely better asked after the festival. Do you still have the jackass neighbor? And now that you are not restricted by language of radio, how do you really feel? You probably,
yeah, he's still around.
Yeah. we see him. He's not been much of an issue.
No, he hasn't been doing asshole things lately.
No. And for those who, you know, don't know the backstory in this, this was a guy who would park. He would have visitors that would come and leave their cars for weeks at a time. Our theory was that they were going up to Fort McMurray to work and leaving the car here. I don't know why I came up with that theory, but I did. But they would park the cars in front of our house and just leave them there for weeks. And I know that's not our street and all that kind of bullshit. But you kind of want to park in front of your own house. And oftentimes, he wouldn't have a car in front of his house. Like, he would just...
Yeah, it was just weird what was going on there for a while.
Yeah.
And then there was the, you know, the break-in and the whole...
Drug thing.
And, yeah.
We had the hazmat crew here.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of police searching his house. So they arrested him in the street and took him away. And then he returned, as they often do. And we don't really know. He suspects, I'm told, that we turned him into the police.
I don't think he thinks that.
Well, one of my children, I don't want to identify who, said they overheard him talking on the phone. Oh, that's the other thing. He wanders around in the middle of the night talking
on
his phone.
Well, this is the thing. Is he always seems to have his phone calls outside of his house.
Yeah, never wants to. Yeah, that's weird.
So he must think his house is like bugged or something. But he will. He'll stand outside 2-3 in the morning having conversation.
Quite loudly.
In the winter, he will also chip his ice and shovel his walks at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's really weird.
It's very strange.
But he was.
But at least he does it.
Yeah,
so
no, absolutely.
Kudos.
Yeah. He was, and also he, well, I was going to say, before I forget it completely, he was outside talking one time and one of our children overheard him say, right after the drug bust, I think it was the people next door. So it's either us or the people on the other side, he believes. So for a while there, I was like turning on the alarm system every night and double checking the doors.
Although he might have thought maybe we didn't turn him in, but maybe we called the cops because his broken window was on our side of the house. So maybe he felt that,
Yeah, possibly. There was a time at which I was looking into him being a problem house.
Mm.
And by that, I mean, just I was looking at the signs, I think, on the City of Edmonton Police website as to, you know, do you live next to a drug house was the question. So I'm just sort of looking at the signs. And the first thing that struck me was everything he did to his house after he moved in fits the profile of somebody who's doing something illicit in their house. You know, cutting down trees so he has a view of the back. Can see, you know, police arriving, combination lock on his front door, security, all these things, right? And then the next thing that struck me, it was our house also fits that criteria perfectly. people coming and going at odd hours, security system. So, you know, who's to say? As far as city council goes, I'm going to guess you have no opinion whatsoever.
Me? No.
Yeah. I'll just say I think they've lost their way. Or I think perhaps they're on a path that nobody gives a shit about, it, which is quite typical of any city council that's been around for a while. If the mayor served on council, which this one did, and then serves as mayor for a term, for a couple of terms, then you end up losing your way. You start having this vision of what you believe the city should be, and it's not necessarily what the city needs. What I want from a city council is the same thing I want, you know, from my paper boy. Just like, is there even paper boys anymore?
I don't think so. Oh, good question.
Well, let me put it another way then. Mm-hmm. I just want you to manage my business. Fix my potholes. Don't be painting bike lanes. You know, let's not, I guess what I'm saying, I don't want you to think outside of the box. I want you to think inside of the box. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure people get bored when they're on council. They're just like, you know what? We have not built anything, put a requisition out for a quotation on anything. We've not renamed anything in over a week. Like, we should paint something. You know what I mean? Like, they just, just don't worry about all that shit. We're good. Just balance the book. Balance the books. That's all I want to say. All right, what else we got?
Leanne tweeted, okay, so what purpose does Matthew
Tkachuk's
mouth guard serve him during the game? Discuss. Yes, a Flames fan, but seriously, Matt.
So you know who Matthew Tkachuk is, right?
Yeah, he's some dick on the Flames.
Well, Edmonton Oilers fans tend to refer to him as a dick, more so than, say, Calgary Flames fan. He's an agitator, that guy. I actually found a clip of Tkachuk. Here, listen up.
Hey, it's Franklin, coming over to play. Growing a little every day. Here he comes with all his friends.
Not the right clip. That's of course Franklin the Turtle. Okay. That's how you know him. He's the guy who turtles.
I'm not saying I don't know him. I just don't really give a shit about him. Didn't he just slice somebody's leg?
Yeah,
Winnipeg guy.
It was an accident, unintentional. Here's the thing about Tkachuk, and I say this as an avid Edmonton Oilers fan. He's a very effective player because not only is he an agitator, he's not a goon. He's an agitator and a skilled player, which makes it fucking worse. Because when you have like a guy who just gets in your face and fucking shit talks you and has a little dirty shot here and there but can also score, it just makes him 10 times more fucking annoying. So, you know, yeah, I hate him because he plays for the Flames and he's a piece of shit turtler. Although, you know, he did step up and fight that last time. But anyway, but if we were given the opportunity to have Tkachuk on the team, I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Really?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
All right. Bonnie wants to know, have you ever done a gig on a cruise? Have you?
What kind of gig?
Whatever it takes to make some money.
No, I personally have not.
In light of the whole COVID thing, would you consider doing so? I read that somewhere some cruises are booked. Almost solid. Yikes. Yeah, you know, we've talked about cruises. I do want to do cruises. I have a cruise agent. I had received some contracts to do a cruise, and then COVID came along. So when it's done, I'll go back again. And I would be on the first ship, to be honest with you, because it pays well and I want to do it. So there's that. Now, Bonnie mentioned that some cruises were booked already. Of course, we keep hearing from our agent that cruises, sailing dates are being pushed and pushed and pushed. Mm-hmm. But I was interested to learn that there was ships sailing. So listen to this.
In Europe.
In Europe, right. A 36 crew and 4 guests on a Norwegian cruise ship. Now, this is not Norwegian Cruise Lines. It's a Norwegian-based ship. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They tested positive for COVID-19. The cruise company has had 158 crew members from the MS Rode Umbritzen have been tested after four staff members became ill and were found to have the disease on Friday. Now, it gets worse. The MS Ruud Umbritzen had two expeditions. They're those ships. We saw them on Mighty Ships, that television show.
Yeah, they're expedition ships.
They go to the Arctic.
They'll go to the Arctic or the Antarctic. It's more about the experience than than the cruising.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it turns out they had sailed twice. July 17th with 209 guests, July 24th with 178 guests. Now, by the weekend, by Sunday night, they had determined at least 40 passengers and crew now had COVID-19, and they were attempting to trace the rest of the passengers. And these passengers come from all over the world, so they'd be trying to track them down all over the world. The company that owns the ship is the Hurtigruten.
Hurtigruten.
That's how you pronounce it.
Hurtigruten.
Hurtigruten. The CEO of Hurtigruten addressed the media, and I was able to grab the clip. Take a listen. Can you believe that they... Oh, is that still going on? Why not? Who's sailing? Who's going on those ships? I know I just said I would, but I'm waiting, obviously, until COVID is under control.
Yeah, I mean, they must have thought, okay, you know, we have it under... Wherever, Norway.
Yeah.
We have it under control. We can get going on this. And
but the only way that would work would be to have your passengers come in 2 weeks earlier than the cruise, isolate, be tested, and then get on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with crew.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So at this point, if I was offered a contract, Bonnie, the answer would be
No, for sure.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, I need to talk to you about something. It's a bit of an intervention.
Mm.
I need to talk to you about this.
I mean, birds just don't go around attacking people without no reason.
I think we're in real trouble. I don't know how this started or why, but I know it's here and we'd be crazy to ignore it.
To ignore what? The bird war?
Yes, the bird war, the bird attack plague. Call it what you like. They're massing out there someplace and they'll be back. You can count them.
I keep telling you, this isn't a few birds. These are gulls, crows, swifts.
I have never known birds of different species to flock together. The very concept is unimaginable. Why, if that happened, we wouldn't have a chance.
Albert Hitchcock. Don't know what you're getting at there.
Well, you know exactly what I'm getting at. So, listen, we need to deal with this. Because I liked the idea originally.
We don't have a problem. Per se.
Well, I think the first thing you need to do with a problem is acknowledge the problem.
Hmm.
So you have installed two bird feeders out back,
mm-hmm.
and then you have two bird dishes,
mm-hmm.
and you've...
One for the little birds and one for the big birds.
You've procured two bird baths of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
We've become a bird sanctuary in the backyard,
mm-hmm.
and it's... It's not normal. What's happening out there is not normal.
What do you mean?
Come on. In the morning, if you look out, and by the way, what do you feed them?
I feed the little birds like a bird seed mix.
Okay.
And the big birds get peanuts and raisins.
Mm. And how much would you estimate you're spending?
A lot.
Yeah. You want to put a dollar figure on it per week to have these birds shit on our new chairs?
I don't know. A lot.
$100?
Well, not a week. I mean, I spent $80 at the bulk burn for my peanuts and raisins, and that was like maybe a week and a half ago.
And if it rains, there was a time, we've been together a long time, Carol, and I've known you for almost 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in all the time that we've lived together, if it rains,
mm-hmm.
you would jump up as soon as you heard the rain, and you'd say, I need to shut the windows.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't do that. You're like, I need to get in. I need to take the peanuts in.
Because the peanuts are actually expensive when you're buying the amount of peanuts I buy. And if they sit out in the rain, then they're just in the bowl. They get all wet and they're ruined. And I got to throw them away.
How do you know that? How do you know the...
Because I have...
How do you know the birds won't eat wet peanuts?
They're not just like wet peanuts. They'll be swimming around in like a peanut soup. You've obviously... never seen that.
You honestly don't see a problem?
No. I like birds.
And would you conservatively estimate, and if I'm exaggerating, say so, that sometimes there's like 100 birds in our backyard?
Okay, you're exaggerating.
Okay, how many?
Well,
50?
Not 50. Come on. Every now and then you'll walk out in the morning and for some reason the grackles like to like snuggle into the grass. And then I open the door and a big flock of them will come out of the grass, like maybe 30. Maybe 40.
Yeah. Okay.
But then they just fly away.
We don't live on an acreage.
But they're not, it's not like they're swarming around the yard all day long. No, they're not. They come, they go. There's five little birds.
Carol, if you've not put the nuts and the seed out, they line up along the fence on both sides and chirp us. Like they different birds, different breeds, they line up on the deck.
Well, I don't know what's going on because Edgar, my big raven, he's not been around
really
in a while. Well, I named the Grackle family. They were the Adams family and they all had names when we only had four of them coming. Mm-hmm. But now we have too many Grackles.
Well, yeah, it went viral.
But I don't know where Edgar went. I think he's pissed off at all the Grackles and the magpies.
Well, it's too much.
Okay.
Just, you know, fine. And the birds, the whatever the feeders are that are hanging, there's now some kind of swamp. I don't know how to describe it. There's this spongy moss area below each of them because they're sloppy eaters. And who knows what we call it, bird seed. But obviously, if you plant them, you don't grow birds. Like, I don't know what that is.
Well, it's wheat.
Okay. Wheat.
Corn.
All right.
I'm just telling you what's in the bird seed. Yeah. Wheat, corn. Sunflower seeds and, you know, I don't know, little millet stuff. I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, take a serious look at yourself.
Okay, whatever.
Hey, listen, hockey is back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've watched the games and I know that, you know, you've been with me watching the games.
No, I've watched one game.
That's correct.
On Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's one game. Right. Well, we'll get into why you missed the other game. I think I'm finding the most disturbing thing with hockey being back is Elliot Friedman's beard and Gene Principe's mullet. And it,
oh, yeah.
Now, Principe's mullet, I think, threw you off more than Friedman's beard.
Here's the thing. I don't like beards. I'm not a fan of beards.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, a lot of stuff is in there. I guess if you keep it nicely trimmed to your face, not bad. But a big Grizzly Adams beard, I'm just not a fan of.
And I don't know what he's going for.
And then I have heard that beards contain a lot of fecal matter. So,
wow.
It's a fact. It's just out there. But the mullet, yeah, I mean, he's got like super curly hair.
Yeah.
So he needs to keep it nice and trimmed. But, you know, maybe he likes it long. Maybe he wants to have hockey hair for the playoffs.
I know, but he's on television.
I know, but maybe he wants hockey hair, so.
There's something really weird about Friedman's beard, and only because I can totally picture him without the beard, and so now to see him with the beard, when he talks on television, he doesn't tend to be very animated, his face doesn't move much, so there's just this beard talking to you, I can't take my eyes off his mouth, I said to you when we were watching the first game, my God, it's like watching a grizzly bear's asshole talk to you. Like there's just all this fur, but there's this little movement right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I find it very off-putting. Not as off-putting as everything Cassie Campbell says, but still.
What's his playoff beard?
Well, that's not a thing, just so you know.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're not a player, I don't really know why.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. Okay. So for whatever the last game was that Monday night?
Which today? Yes, it was.
All right. So here's the deal. Stop me at any point. This isn't correct. So I had a plan.
No, I'm just kidding.
I had a plan for Monday night's game. And the plan was I was going to watch it down in the basement, order a Piper's pizza, was really looking forward to it, was confident the Oilers were going to tie up the series, which they did. And I was set to go. I had my laptop ready for the tweets. I had Skip the Dishes ready to go to order the pizza. You have to do it at just the right time. You want it to arrive between the first and second period. And then you came downstairs and said, did you not notice this water? Which I honestly did not. And I'm like, no, what water? And it was like 8:25. And then you're like sort of splashing around in the car.
Hey, stop. It wasn't 8:25.
Well, it was close to game time.
It was like 8 because I got my car at 8:13 to go to the Home Depot for a shot back.
So. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So we determined, now that was the night, of course, it was raining very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't know anything about sump pumps. Mm-hmm. I know more now than I did Monday at about 8 o'clock. I know this. They're like exercise bicycles. Like, you're pretty sure you own one, but you haven't seen it in a while and you don't know if it works, right? So we sort of got, my fear was that that there was a crack in our foundation. That was my fear, and that our house would be ruined. But it turned out you quickly unloaded everything out of the closet under the stairs, which is where the sump pump is. You exposed the sump pump, and we determined it was not working.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
Water was still kind of coming in.
Yeah, there was a huge puddle in the closet that was now leaking under the stairs into the furnished part of the basement.
So I texted Todd at Todd's Mechanical. You know Todd at Todd's Mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
You can call him yourself at 780-499-7598 or go online at toddsmech.com. This guy's great. So I texted him and just said, hey, Todd, do you do sump pumps?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I switched the channel to see which was better, the high def channel or the Sportsnet West channel 23. And then he texted back, yes, I do. And then he phoned me. Now, at this point, you had gone to Home Depot to get a wet vac.
Mm-hmm.
And so we phoned and he was like, what's going on? I go, my sump pump's not working. He's like, I'm on my way. And I was like, no. Because that was 8:25. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Like, the game's about to start. We'll deal with this tomorrow. That's what I said. And he's like, you can't fucking deal with it tomorrow. If your sump pump's not, you got to deal with it right fucking now. And I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, is your connection ponied? Or, like, I had no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. So he ended up arriving.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a Mike Green jersey. Really weird. You know about this?
No.
At the trade deadline, you remember Lucic went down to Calgary. He wore 27, and Mike Green somehow got acquired by the Edmonton Oilers, and he took 27.
Sure.
And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he got injured, and then he recouped during this COVID crisis in time for the playoffs, but then opted out. He was the player that opted out.
Oh, right.
So it's an odd choice of jersey.
Well, if that's the jersey you've got, that's the jersey you wear.
Well, Todd had 27. He had a Lucic jersey, and then Lucic got traded, so he changed it to a green jersey. But anyway.
Right.
So Todd fixed it. But honest to God, I had no idea. Why are you shaking your head at me?
Because you don't, I don't know, like water is always an emergency.
Always.
It's always an emergency.
Okay.
And you just, okay, I'm going to watch TV now.
Well, it's an Oilers game. Okay. Anyway.
Water is always an emergency.
Always an emergency. Okay. Well, good to know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So Todd put in a super duper sump pump.
Mm-hmm.
My God, that guy has been spent. And then we watched the game together, which was great. While he was draining the barrel, we watched the game together, which worked out really well because.
Yeah, good for you.
Okay. Anyways, Ed, you sucked up
the water. I was sucking up water for 2 fucking days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how's that gone? Everything good?
It's still a little damp, but no structural damage that I can see.
Okay. Well, it could have been worse.
Yeah. It could have been worse.
We could have been out of town. We could have not noticed it. It could have been at night.
You could be single. Then what? What do you do? What do you do?
You get a new house. What do you mean?
Would you have even, at this point, if you were single, would you have noticed the water by now?
Well, that's a great question, Carol. I mean, if my pizza floated by, I'd be like.
It probably would have.
Hey, that's weird.
Yeah, it was a lot of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, anyways, you were here. Not all heroes wear capes.
Mm-hmm.
You handled it.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you handle it?
Because I handle everything.
Right.
I'm tired of handling everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's.
Water is always an emergency.
Water is.
Always.
Always an emergency.
Because you don't know where to go. Like, you can't see it.
Right.
I mean, you can see some of it.
Yeah.
But you might not be able to see all of it.
Right.
So water, always an emergency.
Always an emergency.
Always.
Good to know. Okay. Well, time to switch gears.
You got nice eyes. for a cop.
And I'll bet your mother had a loud bark.
Hey, do you remember all the bad press American Airlines, not American Airlines, but airlines based out of America, were getting, what, a couple of years ago, dragging passengers on and off planes, that kind of thing, right? So you know that they wanted to have a clear-cut policy on mask wearing once they were able to get up and flying again on a more regular basis, right? So Delta led the charge on that, and Delta told customers that customers and employees are required to wear a face mask appropriate cloth face covering over their nose and mouth throughout their travel. And Delta CEO Ed Bastian is his name, was interviewed. This is honestly a few weeks ago. And he was asked, because we don't want to have another one of these dragging people down the aisle situation. He was asked, well, what happens if a passenger refuses to wear a mask?
Well, we've been requiring masks since the 1st of May. And we've been steadily and rather aggressively stepping up our enforcement of the mask policy. You cannot board a Delta plane unless you have a mask on. If you board the plane and you insist that not wearing your mask, we will insist that you don't fly Delta into the future. We already have over 100 people we put on that list. We implemented a new procedure this week because we've had some customers indicate that they have underlying conditions that makes wearing a mask dangerous for them. We've told them then you may not want to fly to reconsider whether air travel is the right form of transportation. But if they do decide to, they want to continue to fly, we have a screening process with the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center and StatMD where the customer will talk to the doctor before they get on the plane to actually have it validated that they indeed cannot wear a mask.
I love that answer. Love, love, loves that answer because they're saying what everyone's saying. Hey, if you want to come into our business, wear a mask, right?
If you don't, then don't patronize come into us.
Right, exactly. So that's very straightforward. But then you have those individuals who are like, well, I have a medical condition. So Delta's like, oh, do you?
Well, go see our doctor.
Talk to our doctor. Let's verify it. Like, I love it. Can you imagine that happening at, you know, Home Depot?
No, I like Costco.
I love it a lot. So they're actually willing to call bullshit on you if they think it might be bullshit, right? Well, then it happened. Flight 1227 was forced to return to the gate at Detroit Metro Airport. I think it was headed to Atlanta. This happened July 23rd, so not too long ago. Pair of passengers refusing to wear a mask. They were removed from the aircraft and have been banned for life from flying Delta. And I say, good on you, Delta.
Yeah, good for them.
You know what?
Because it's one thing. Here's the thing. A lot of businesses will implement these, you know, procedures. And then people, I'm going to wear a mask. I'm not, like, whatever. And there's no repercussions for that. So, yeah, kudos for them.
I am totally cool
saying,
with that.
For saying, yeah, nope.
Exactly.
We're because done with you.
Airplanes in general, I don't know what the right expression would be, a cesspool of germs. I mean, they're recirculating air. People, they can't possibly clean every surface on a plane.
No, there's a lot of snotty surfaces.
Oh, speaking of that. So at Walmart yesterday.
Oh, the guy with the mask.
Yeah. The middle-aged white guy who couldn't figure out his fucking mask.
How can you not figure out? Like, you put the two loops over your ears, then away you go.
And he was so easily disgusted by not being able to do it.
Like, and the wife was trying to help. She's wearing a mask.
Being very patient.
She's trying to help him.
Yeah.
And he's just, he gave up, was holding on to his mask.
Yeah,
he walked into the Walmart. And it's like, I don't understand why this is such a struggle for you.
I know, I know. And I have to say, most of the patrons of Walmart were wearing a mask. Almost all. So this guy, so after we observed that, you and I then hit the baking aisle. Bread aisle?
Bread.
And I'm keeping an eye on this guy because I'm like, what am I going to say to him? Because you know I'm going to say something, right? And then he wipes his nose with his bare hand, just wipes his big old snotty wipe of fucking nose, and then reaches into the watermelons and starts like inspecting watermelons. I'm fucking losing it. But he takes the watermelon and puts it in his cart. So I'm like, ooh. I might have to get that reviewed. Like if he if he handled it, but then he took it, you know what I mean? So now I'm waiting for him to touch something else. But I'm pushing the cart for you. That's my job. And each time I'd see him, I'd be like, oh, fuck. And I'd start going towards the row he was in so I could casually go by and catch him touching something. You'd be like, where are you going? Get back here. We need this or we need that.
Well, all you need to say is you're chasing watermelon, man. And I would have been like, yeah, go. Yeah.
I so wanted to catch up to him. I was very frustrated. And then finally, as we were leaving, there was like a different guy with his kid, no mask, not watermelon man.
No, different guy.
Yeah. And I just said to him, hey, you should be wearing a mask. And then he said, oh, you know what? That's a great idea. Where can I get one? And I went
everywhere.
He stumped me. Like I was like, yeah, because the answer is everywhere. I went, Tim Hortons, which is, I guess, not true anymore.
Yeah, I think they ran out. So all the fast food places.
And he was like, which one?
But you're actually in Walmart actually sells them.
I know.
Disposable ones, cloth ones.
I know. Whatever. And then like he's like, well, which one? I'm like, fuck everyone. And then he's like, okay, thank you. And yeah, and we left. And then you were like, oh, that guy totally played you. I'm like, I think he might have.
Yeah, I think he just said that so you wouldn't harass him. Like, just, okay, I'm going to play dumb, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Everybody else has been able to find mask sales, so.
Listen, I got to tell you, you know that comedian? We've played his stuff before.
Brent Terhune.
Isn't it Berthune? Terhune?
Brent Terhune.
Brent Terhune.
I don't know why we say it like that.
Yeah, he's just hilarious, right? So, but I just want to make this really clear for a clip I'm about to play you that this is not Brent Terhune. This is not a comedian at all. So don't think I'm about to pull one on you and, hey, how funny. This is actually Greg Locke, an American pastor down in the United States, of course. Take a listen to this.
I'm not bowing down. I am not in compliance. I am in utter defiance of this. Listen, I'll go to jail over this situation. It is the golden calf. I'm sick of Christians saying things like this. Well, it's just a mask. You know what they used to say? Oh, it's just a baby. It's just a zygote. It's just a growth in the mother's womb. So let's kill it. No, it's not just a mask. It's a compliance device. This is not about safety. This is about surrendering of our rights. Can I remind you, this is still the United States of America. This is not communism. This is not China. This ain't North Korea. I don't live in Haiti. I don't live some other country somewhere where I'm under the guise of communism and socialism. This is the United States of America. Y'all hear me? Trump 2020. Hoot, hoot.
Might as well face it, your dick. Gonna have to face it, your dick. Might as well face it, your dick.
Okay, these people just drive me fucking crazy. It's like, it's our right. You have no right to tell us what we can do, but they're the same people that tell women that they have no reproductive rights. It's like,
wow.
Fuck. Fuck you, buddy. Oh, fuck wow. You.
Okay. You're talking about him, right?
I'm talking about him.
Yeah, good,
and
good, good.
All the idiots like him that say, well, it's our right. We can do whatever we want. It's our bodies. We don't have to wear a mask. And okay.
Hmm.
Okay, buddy.
Do you know what caused that?
Mm.
He went into a Dunkin' Donuts and they asked him if he'd please put on a mask. That's what caused it. He went back to his car, recorded that, and put it out there.
Yeah, fuck.
Fucking Dunkin' Donuts. Fuck you, Dunkin' Donuts. And Dunkin' Donuts, as a result of it going viral, which it did, has now changed their policy. So they've made it extremely... Their policy was, I think, that they recommend wearing a mask, and now it's mandatory. So do not go into a Dunkin' Donuts anywhere in the world without a mask on as a result of that video. Just so there's no misunderstanding as to whether or not it's a policy of the company. Because this guy was blaming the individual, who you know is some teenage minimum
like
wager.
They're just doing what they're told.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah.
Exciting for you, Carol, anytime this happens, but we've got a double dose of dick. Double dick today. Do you remember when the Edmonton City Council created the bylaw or was discussing the bylaw about wearing a mask? And I said, you know what's going to happen? We're going to end up with an Edmonton or Calgary.
With Karens and Chads or Kyles or whatever the male equivalent is.
Well, it took no time at all. This is an Edmonton guy captured on camera during a racist rant in an Edmonton liquor store. It's the Olympia Liquor on 137th Avenue in Edmonton. Take a listen.
I want you to know the whole fucking story and shut your fucking mouth, because I don't think you have a fucking clue. Okay, you don't have a fucking clue. And you, buddy, you're fucking disrespecting Canada yourself. You're being fucking brainwashed, you fucking stupid fuck. Why don't you come to this country and be like everybody else? I never knew how good this country was till you butt down as good as people was till you moved here. Okay, then? Yeah, put me on.
What's your name?
I never knew how good our country was till you people moved here. Because Canadians are nicest fucking people in the world. Yeah. And your belief system is not better than our fucking laws. You got that, buddy?
You're nice, yeah. You're so nice. Sure, stupid.
Believe what you want to believe.
What's your name, though?
I'm gonna get out of here. My name is the White Man Dingo.
Okay.
Stupid, fucking stupid. You're brainwashed. If you're part of our part of fucking cult, if you're part of the British fucking, you gotta fucking respect our country laws. Look how stupid that fucking beard is.
Hey, don't talk on my beard.
What?
Don't talk on my beard.
Okay? I can talk about your beard for what? Don't you put your foot up. You know why I can talk about your beard? Because in this country, my whole life, when I was growing up, whenever I go out, I shave and cut my hair and I look good. That's why I can tell you that. Your belief is no better than my fucking loss. You dumb fuck.
Might as well face it, your dick. Gonna have to face it, your dick. Might as well face it, your dick.
You know what really bothers me about this? And it's not the fact that it's an Edmontonian, although that bothers me. It bothers me because this is the same type of individual who believes women don't control their own reproductive system.
And fuck your religious beliefs. Shave your fucking beard.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Jesus Christ. You know... More and more often, I'm just ashamed to be a white person because it's just
don't say that.
It's just like, what the fuck, people? Like, I'm Canadian. Like, fuck you.
It's not all white people.
I know it's not all white people, but it's...
It's middle-aged white guys. That's what it is. And middle-aged white guys.
And Kierans.
And Kierans.
Calm down.
I've got an idea. I'm not sure where to throw it out, but perhaps this is...
I mean, you're a middle-aged white guy.
Well, am I?
Or are you past middle-aged?
I think I'm past.
Into senior territory.
I believe I'm on the edge of senior. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm at that...
Actually, I think at Shoppers Drug Mart, you are a senior. See, some places are 60.
I am at Humpty's.
And some places are like 55.
I know, it's
great. I think Denny's is like you can eat off the seniors menu at 55.
Yeah.
And Shoppers, I think, is 60 for the...
you can only eat so much tapioca,
seniors
though.
Seniors discount.
I mean? I think I'm a senior citizen now, perhaps. I'm not really sure.
You're on the cusp, anyway.
I'm at that beautiful age. You know, people are often asked, what's the best age? And oftentimes people say, 19, especially if you're a man because you're most virile or whatever. And others will say, no, it's in your 30s because you're starting to get, you know, financial stability. And others will say, no, it's in your late 40s because then the kids are gone.
I think 4 is like the ideal age.
4?
You're not in school yet.
Right.
People still do shit for you, but you can walk, you can talk, you can do shit on your own, go to the bathroom, whatever. But people are still looking after you, paying for all your shit.
That sounds a lot like me.
You have no responsibilities.
That is definitely...
I think it's a good age.
I think 80's a better age.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Only because I feel like at 80, you can do or say anything and people be like, probably see now.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's true anymore.
Well, we're going to find out. Anyways, I had this idea I wanted to run by you. I don't know. And I'll gift it to any of... our listeners in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have listeners in Mexico?
That would be wonderful.
I honestly don't know. We could have. I think we need to change MAGA to middle-aged gringo assholes. How about if we just, every time you see MAGA, you just go,
Yeah.
Just smile and nod. Yeah. I'm with you, brother.
Mm.
Middle-aged gringo assholes. All right. I feel as though we need to laugh a little. I thought, just to sum up the whole COVID situation, an update from around the world.
Welcome to the COVID-19 update meeting. New Zealand, how are you going?
Pretty much back to normal, bro. We're sweet as.
Fair income, good on you, mate. UK, how you doing?
Well, my good sir, we are the definition of fucked.
Well, at least you can admit it. Russia, how you going?
Very shit, but we have vodka, so it is okay.
Well, mate, just stay away from us and you'll be good to go. Ireland, how you going?
Yeah, pretty good. We're just looking for the pubs to reopen again.
It's good to see, mate. Well, we've got one state that's a little bit out of control at the moment, but after a lockdown, it should be all good to go. America.
Huh?
America?
2,600.
2,600? That's not too bad at all.
An hour?
2,600 a fucking hour?
Oh dear.
And you guys think that I am bad guy?
You guys are fucked, eh?
I have rights. I ain't wearing a mask.
You know, recently, and I can't recall why. Mm-hmm. I think it was about masks. I tweeted something about masks.
Right.
Just wear a fucking mask.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think mm-hmm. it was just that.
Mm-hmm.
People, just wear a fucking mask.
It's not a fucking hardship.
It really isn't.
Come on.
But there was some pushback. I mean, a lot of people liked it, retweeted it, whatever, which is fine. I wasn't really looking for the likes and retweets on that one. I was really just looking to be one more voice saying, wear a fucking mask.
If you're not doing it, do it. Don't complain about it. Just fucking do it.
Not a big deal, you know. But I got a lot of what about arguments, and I don't want to take a lot of time with this. I just want to say,
I hate those.
As do I. If you're not familiar with what about arguments, this will clear it up for you.
Whataboutism, also known as whataboutery, is a variant of the two-quoke logical fallacy that attempts to discredit an opponent's position by charging them with hypocrisy without directly refuting or disproving their argument. For example,
what the hell, Brian? This is a list of women you work with that you'd like to sleep with?
It's a wish list. What, I'm not allowed to wish? What about Linda Sarsour wishing that America was under Sharia law?
That doesn't mean you get to sleep with other women!
It might. Polygamy is legal under Sharia law. Oh, my list!
F***ing idiot.
Whataboutism is particularly associated with Soviet and Russian propaganda.
I hate the argument. Because it's so, you know what? I'm just going to say it instead of beating around the bush. It makes you look like a fucking idiot. Mm,
it's deflection is what it is.
Yeah. If you go, hey, you know what? Like, listen, man, as you're walking into the Safeway. Hey, listen, man, it's a food store. Like, you know, you probably should be wearing a mask. What about the Black Lives Matter protesters in Portland? Like, no, fuck, we're not talking about that right now. That's a fucking different topic. You're walking around touching, sneezing, and breathing on my fucking food. Put on a fucking mask, asshole. White, middle-aged fucking white guy. Motherfucker. Well, it's seriously, or, you know, this is the dumbest of all arguments. And I know I'm about to say this to somebody who's used this argument, so I'm just going to call you stupid right now. The dumbest of all arguments. Well, you know what? More people die in car crashes, you know, so we didn't outlaw fucking cars. No, yeah. You know why? We made them safer. We made, we required people to wear seatbelts. We designed better highways and roads. Mm-hmm. We put up traffic signals and speed limits.
We adjusted as we went along.
Right.
Which is what we're trying to do
which
now.
Which we're
and
doing
I,
now.
And I feel like if everyone just, okay, right at this moment in time, if everyone did what they were supposed to do, we could get over the hump a little quicker.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Just,
I think.
Just think of the mask as a seatbelt for your face. Think of it that way. It's just a seatbelt for your face. And by the way, it goes over your fucking nose, too.
Oh, yeah. We saw a lot of those, actually, at Walmart, where just over the mouth.
And it's like wearing underwear with your dick hanging over the rim. Like, it's supposed to cover both things. Fuck.
Twigs and berries, people. Twigs and berries.
Jesus Christ. I cannot take this bullshit anymore. Hey, among the comedians scheduled to appear at the 2020 Edmonton Comedy Festival.
Who? Tell me.
Casey Corbin.
I would know this.
From Toronto. Casey Corbin has been a friend of mine for years. He's originally from Ottawa. He's got the most bizarre accent ever. And you know, I often say to you that I can pick anyone's accent out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I first saw Casey Corbin like 15 years ago, I was at the back of the room with another comedian going, what the fuck accent is that? Like, it sort of feels a little maritime, kind of Ontario, perhaps a bit of Western, and maybe Slovakia. Like, I'm not really sure what it is. Mm. It turns out it's like Ottawa Valley.
Well, let me just say this.
Yes.
You say that you're very good at picking out people's accents.
Yeah.
Only Canadian ones, though. I've noticed that you have, you struggle, you'll be like, oh, that's like, he's got an English accent. It's like, no, that's like South African.
Yeah, those are tough. Like Australia, New Zealand,
like,
yeah.
South African, Australian, Irish, Scottish. Like, you struggle with those ones.
Totally okay with that. Totally okay with that.
But regionally, like in Canada, you're quite good at.
Yeah, but like, listen, don't hang me out to dry like that. I mean, it's almost eerie. Like, I will ask people, are you from Rimouski or Northern New Brunswick? Like, that kind of thing. Like, it's... You know what I mean? Like, I can really nail down the region, but I've spent a lot of time going place to place. I can also recommend a pizza place in almost every town. Anyways, let's take a listen. One of the comics coming this October 14th, 17th, the Edmonton Comedy Festival. Find out more at atbcomedy.com. This is Casey Corbin.
You know where I love to shop? I'll tell you. Well, I love to shop at a little store called IKEA. Seriously. Absolutely love IKEA. Yeah, some people are applauding. I love it too. Favorite thing about IKEA? 50-cent hot dogs. That's what I love about IKEA. Seriously. Honest to God. The best thing about the 50-cent hot dogs at IKEA is the fact that they're still called hot dogs. Because it's IKEA. You'd think it was something all screwed up, you know what I mean? Like Schmuggenfloggins or something like that. The best is they always put the friggin' Schmuggenfloggins. They always put them, like, right there at the end. You never get them at the beginning. It's like you got to work your way through the 10K labyrinth of shit furniture to get to the hot dogs in the end. Make us fat people feel like mice. That's what it does. You know what I mean? Like, if you're ever lost in the IKEA, you just follow the fat guy because he's sniffing out hot dogs. Schmuggenfloggins, yeah, that's awesome. Imagine walking up to the counter. Yeah, can I get a hot dog? We don't have hot dogs, sir. Well, what do you? What's that guy eating? Schmuggenfloggins. Well, give me one of those, and they give you the Schmuggenfloggin, and it comes in the box, and the wiener's on one side, and the bun's on the other, and there's some messed up directions in the middle. Welcome to IKEA. This is how to build a Schmuggenfloggin. An Allen key? What do I need an Allen key for? I just decided while doing that joke, I don't even like IKEA anymore. So, no, last time I was there, they kicked me out. And it wasn't even for falling asleep in the ball bin this time. It was something totally different. And it's bogus. I was in my car, just sitting there. This guy comes up, knocks on my window, and he's like, excuse me, sir. You're going to have to leave the premises. I was like, what for? He's like, sir, you're smoking marijuana in your motor vehicle. I was like, dude, you can't advertise 50-cent hot dogs and not expect people to hotbox in your parking lot. Seriously. I thought IKEA was Swedish for common sense. You know what I mean? Like, why don't you use some?
We've mentioned before that we still plan to go ahead with the festival.
Mm-hmm.
We've canceled a couple of shows. We've rearranged some, but we're planning to do it. And one of the reasons we're going to be able to do it, Carol, is fever cams.
Fever cams.
Yeah. They're provided, they're being provided to us by Sure Security. They'll be at every venue. You can buy, rent, lease these cameras yourself if you want them for your business, bar, event, or backyard gathering. We've seen them in demonstration mode. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's a handheld device. You look into it. It tells you if you're running a bit of a fever, and it isolates an individual that you might want to not have at your gathering. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So Sure Security is doing that for us. They're donating those to us on a short-term basis. Mm-hmm. But as I say, you can buy them, you can rent them, you can lease them. You can get them for your business as well. All you have to do is phone or text Oz at Sure Security. And his number is 780-700-2627. 780-700-2627. Carol, we've come to that point in the show that I've been looking forward to the entire show.
Oh.
This is Jeopardy!
All right, Carol. Now, Okay. You'll recall that you're at $900, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to make a slight adjustment, as Alex often does when we come back from commercial. We're going to reduce you to $850. And the reason for that is that Heather Lyon donated $50 through gross misconduct, paypal.me/grossmisconduct, and specifically said it was for you. So I gave you the $50. Mm-hmm. So that puts you back down to $850.
Mm. You're always nickel and diming me.
Well, you know what? Let's put you back up to $900 then.
No, fuck it.
All right. Can't please you, really. All right. I'm going to tell you right now that we've added some difficult categories to the wheel because we're starting to talk about pretty significant money.
Okay.
Right. The wheel I'm referring to, of course, Carol, is the How Smart Is Carol wheel, which is brought to you by the best plumbing service in Edmonton, Todd's Mechanical, the guys who came and fixed our sump pump.
Yeah. Todd's been doing a lot of work for us lately.
And highly, good work, too.
I highly recommend him.
As do
yeah,
I.
He's quick, he's efficient.
He's friendly, really good.
He's chatty, yeah. Personable.
Yeah.
Great guy.
And owns a Mike Green jersey. I mean, you put all of those things together how many plumbers, listen, electricians, trades, at 8:25 on a game night would have said, I'm on another call.
It's a sump pump, though. It's an emergency. Water is always an emergency.
Yeah, but it's not his house. I mean, so I'm told. He threw his jersey on and got over here mm-hmm. in a fucking heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did a great job. Didn't have a sump pump in his truck, so we actually brought in a portable sump pump, pumped us out so that we weren't flooding anymore, came back the next morning and installed
the new one.
The new one, mm-hmm. which is fabulous. This thing sucks like nobody's business, which is a good thing when you're talking about sump pumps. Yeah. Sump pumps. Anyways, if you need Todd yourself in an emergency, even on game day, give him a call, 780-499-7598. You can text him at that number as well, 780-499-7598. All right, let's give the wheel a spin and see what your category is.
Okay.
As I say, we've added some categories, some of them a little more difficult than others, and there it is. That's one of them, so I'm going to show you the category. It is Poland is the category. Poland is the category. So I'm going to ask you to put down your wager. Have you done that?
I don't have a piece of paper to put my wager on.
Okay. Well, here's a piece of paper without looking at the...
Okay. Yeah. I'm not...
All right.
Okay. Okay. So what am I... let's just...
You're at 900, we'll
no,
say.
No, we'll just say...
No, you're at 900. Come on now. Come on, girl. 900.
I'm...
What, are you nervous?
I'm scared. Well, I do know a few things about Poland. Mm-hmm. This is, actually, I need Greg and Isabella to help me with this one. But
yeah,
I do. I know a couple of things.
I feel like they would know the answer to this.
Yeah, I know a couple of things, but probably not enough things.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You've wagered?
Yeah.
All right, Carol. Here is your question in the category of Poland. Play along at home, if you will. Laid to rest temporarily at Arlington in 1941. His remains were returned to Poland in 1992. All right. The question was, laid to rest temporarily at Arlington in 1941, his remains were returned to Poland in 1992. And what did you answer, Carol?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Well, what did you answer?
I don't know.
That's what you answered?
Yes. I don't know.
You could have said, what is, I don't know.
Well, it was who is, I don't know.
Who is, I don't know.
I don't.
Okay, well, that's, hopefully you didn't
wager.
Here's
the thing, is 14 seconds is not enough time to think and write at the same time.
No, you know what?
I mean, you know, you've got, let's just go back here, because... what's this now? Another 16 seconds. Too much pressure.
All right, the category of Poland.
Yeah, laid to look, I know I should know this, but okay. I'm just blanking on it. So just put me out of my misery right now.
Well, you didn't know the answer. How much did you risk? 600 of your 900. So that brings you down to $300, unfortunately, because you did not know the answer. Who is Ignacy Jan Paderewski?
Okay, come on. What the fuck are you doing here?
What? It's random. It's totally random.
If that's not right, that would... Okay, I got to tell you something here.
Yeah, okay.
That would never be a question on Jeopardy.
It was, though.
No, let me see that name.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's also, is he known by some other name? Yes, no, he's got to be known by some other
name. He's a pianist that was put to rest in Arlington Cemetery for a period of time. There's still a plaque there, and then he was moved back to his home.
Oh, you see, what I was doing here is I was trying to think, okay, Poland, 1941, World War II, I'm like trying to think, but, oh, come on. There's no way.
Can I just say, Carol, that listen, you're very smart and you know a lot.
I'm not sure Greg and Isabella would even know that.
Well, possibly not. But I just want to say that there's plenty of game left.
All right.
Plenty of time to win the money back. And plus, and may I just point out as well, that if you ever do find yourself actually on the real set of Jeopardy.
Okay, what's his name again?
You can't be going, no, I'm not saying you'll know the answer now. I'm saying if you don't get it right, you can't be like, hey, what the fuck? That's fucking bullshit.
I just feel like this is.
Does he have another fucking name, Alex? Does he? Hey, come here. Get your fucking ass back.
Who would know that? Who would know that? Who's a? I've never even heard that name before.
I guess Ignaci Jan Paderewski fans would certainly be right on top of that. Or I guess if you had you liked pianists. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get it right.
Okay, well, whatever. I hear a cat crying somewhere, yeah, and I don't know.
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
Okay, well, disappointing.
What does Kevin think?
Some guys have all the luck. Some guys have all the brains. Some guys get all the breaks. Some guys do nothing but complain.
And that's what Kevin thinks.
Yeah. Middle-aged white guys.
That's the song.
Yeah, Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
I think Kevin's a little busy right now. This is sort of the busy time of year for him at his business.
He is. Is he getting annoyed that you want?
No. Okay. He's still playing along nicely. Oh, okay. I mean, you know, I asked him if he wanted to contribute. I know he's, you know, has his own problems. But yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, no problem. Okay. Hey, speaking of, no, I guess we weren't. If you're listening to this on Thursday, I'll be at Old McDonald's Resort tonight on the Old Mac Music stage with Alex Fortin and Ken Valgardson, August 11th, 15th, Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg, and August 27th, the Piston Broke Brewery in Brooks, Alberta. Go to andrewgross.com to hire me or callback.com, callbackent.com to hire any comedian. They've got a great stable of comics. Okay, big blue folder time. Oh, I forgot to do this. You know who brings us the big blue folder, Carol?
Crystal Glass.
That's right. Crystal Glass offers windshield replacement, glass repair service for all types of vehicles, including cars, trucks, vans, and recreational vehicles. You can call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. And we found out while we were in getting our windshields done that they do screens.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you, though?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know that now.
Well, I think I did. Because that kind of goes with windows.
It's weird because it's the kind of thing where you break a screen and, you know, they're fitted perfectly to your window. And you're like, well, where the fuck do you get into the screen, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out Crystal Glass can fix you up.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right. Majesty and Friends, a modern design boutique in Edmonton. Have you heard about this? Is selling what they describe on their website as a subtly appropriate Kenny mug. For $22.50, the mug says, fuck you, Kenny. That's what the mug says.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the owner of the store, the designer of the mug, had this to say.
Shocking as it is blunt, part of this mug's sale price goes to help Edmonton teachers. Even the coffee cup's inspirational beginnings is controversial. It started when a woman crossed paths with the premier at a downtown crosswalk.
She saw him crossing the street, and she was finally able to yell, hey, Jason Kenney, F you. Jason Kenney turned around and said, thank you very much.
Julie Morrison made the mug as a gift for that woman, only to discover there was demand for more. She says, despite the word we can't show on television, it's meant to be a conversation starter around UCP policies in the province.
Obviously, it's profane. Obviously, it's very controversial. But controversy sparks conversations. And this is meant just to be a joke. It's a sarcastic joke.
Yeah, obviously, it's a joke. You know what? The most shocking thing about that mug is the fact that it's $22.50. Like for a, and you know what? Nothing's original about fuck you anything. Like this whole thing just, and it's a conversation starter. No, fuck off.
Fuck you, Kenny.
Well, fuck you, everybody. Like there's nothing original about it. If you go down to the States or Mexico, you can buy fuck you, Trump. Mm-hmm. Like anything with fuck you, whatever on it is not in any way original. I guess what I'm saying is what makes this a news story? Somebody selling a cup that says fuck you, Kenny. So what? And I'm sure Jason Kenney's not losing any sleep. I will say, though, that if you are a conservative and you're outraged by this, all butthurt, if you're a middle-aged white guy, come on, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, get over it.
Remember when they were shooting golf balls at Rachel Notley's head? You know, everybody's acting like a bunch of bitches. Man. Anyways.
So many bitches.
Yeah. God, Carol. Now, I know we've talked about we...
Yeah, can we not?
Well, it's just... Here's the thing.
It's been going on for weeks now that we've had to talk about this.
I know, and but Justin Trudeau finally landed before a parliamentary committee, right?
Mm.
And the finance critic, Pierre... what's his name? Poliev, was questioning him, right? And the reason I want to include it, and even in a segment like the Big Blue Folder, is because it's just so interesting how it went. And I have just a shorter excerpt of it, but it's actually really fucking entertaining. And I just want to point out that the Prime Minister did not have to appear before this hearing, this committee. He was not obligated to. He's like the president. Like he doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. But he agreed to do it. And the only reason you would agree to do it is for the sake of full disclosure. Mm-hmm. Like, I have nothing to hide. Ask me any question you want. So listen how this went.
It didn't just slide by your desk. That you were consciously aware that there was an inappropriate link to your family that would put you in a conflict. Why did you, at that moment, not call the ethics commissioner and recuse yourself?
That is simply not true, Mr. Poliev. The issue of advancing issues for one's own, and by the way, the ethics commissioner is looking into this right now, and I fully trust his judgment on determining it. But at the same time, my concern around accusing myself was a question around perceptions, because I knew full well that this Canada Summer Students Grant Program was not going to directly benefit my mother or my brother.
Your 16 seconds are up. Your 16 seconds are up. I'm going to ask you again, because nobody believes you when you say you don't know how much money your family has got from the We Group. You've had a month to look into that. You knew you were going to testify here. Again, how much money total have your brother, mother, and spouse received from this organization? How much?
That information has been publicly shared, but I will highlight.
Well, then tell me what it is.
My mother.
How much?
Has
just the dollar figure.
Throughout her life.
The dollar figure, Prime Minister.
In various ways, and is proud
how much?
Of the work that she's done, and I'm proud of her.
How much? I'm looking for a dollar figure.
We can get that number for you if you like. It's been out in the media.
It's been in the media, but you don't know it?
I don't have it in front of me.
You don't know how much your family has received from this organization, which you tried to give $500 million, really?
Answer, Mr.
Paul, I'm waiting. You haven't done an answer so far. Let's make this the first one.
My mother has worked as an advocate.
The dollar figure, Prime Minister.
Speaker for
how much?
Many good organizations across the country.
Mr.
Many,
Prime Minister, you are,
she is you, proud
you are
she
being asked
have to rely
a direct
on a
question at a parliamentary
a son
committee.
To support her because she does her own work, and I'm proud
point
of
order.
Of
point of,
does,
point of order.
But I do not feel that it is
answer
my
the question.
Responsibility to peer into the work my mother is doing because I have
point of order to suspend.
She's doing
point of order.
Point of order
to
suspend.
I've come to learn that the chairperson's power has gone out and is no longer part of this meeting. May I propose that
it's
we
okay? We
for
can we
few
can
minutes
keep
for
Prime Minister and I can continue talking.
No.
I suspected that might be a problem. It's very convenient timing for the lights to go out.
Look, I got a message to the effect that his power has gone out. I have no reason to distrust him.
I hope you don't pull the fire alarm now.
Yeah, well, look, there's no intent in my own private home here in the middle of a pandemic. I don't have a fire alarm. I propose
the general process is that the vice chair assumes the chairing of the meeting. So we'll continue.
And that would be me.
Also from the Big Blue Folder, a company in Texas that supplies nuts for airlines has more than 87,000 pounds of nuts that they don't know what to do with.
They need to find a company that has 87,000 pounds of bolts.
87,000 pounds of nuts would keep your birds, I think, happy for at least a couple of weeks.
Oh, I was thinking like nuts and bolts. You're talking like nuts like peanuts.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they have peanuts on airlines anymore.
Oh, you could be right.
Yeah.
No, why would one company have a whole bunch of nuts?
Because they're the people that manufacture nuts. They don't make bolts, but they make nuts.
Yeah, okay. You know,
because if you have like 87,000 pounds of nuts, like say peanuts, assorted nuts,
yeah,
you donate them. Like you give, like there's places that will take those nuts, food banks, whatnot. I think these are nuts, like nuts and bolts, nuts.
How would you have 87,000 pounds of nuts and no bolts?
Because they don't make the bolts. They're the nut company.
Does that make sense to you? I'm going to look into it.
Okay. Something for next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Big star beside that. But look into that.
The nut situation. The pandemic may mean the end of McDonald's ball pits. The CEO of McDonald's saying, quote, "I don't know if we've got ball pits in our future. There's probably some good public health reasons not for us to be doing a lot of ball pits." Do you, really?
I mean, those should have been gone years ago. They're just, I mean, that's just a cesspool of germs.
Just nasty.
That's just
nuts and balls. All right. A guy in Pennsylvania shot a cigar store clerk for telling him to wear a mask. His lawyer says, this is what he said in court. He didn't appear, but his lawyer did. He's just not handling the pandemic well.
Was he a middle-aged white guy?
You know he was.
Okay.
A new American study looked for the most overrated TV shows of all time. This was overrated. So this was a study done in America, and it asked just, what do you think the most overrated? So at number eight, The Office.
I don't think that's overrated.
I think it's underrated.
Yeah, it's truly a brilliant show.
I absolutely agree.
And the British version as well is
very good.
Very brilliant.
I the last couple of seasons of The Office,
No, I enjoyed every season, every episode.
Loved Friends at number seven. I've never understood Friends. I mean, I understand.
I like Friends. Yeah. I watched it. I like it. I'm not going to say I love it, but yeah.
You're not really a Friends person. I mean, we never watched Friends together or anything.
Yeah, we did when it first came up. Maybe I was watching it by myself. I used to always watch Friends.
Yeah. Game of Thrones at number six.
Love Game of Thrones.
All but the season finale.
Nah.
What the fuck's wrong with you people? Rick and Morty? What is that? I don't even know that show.
I think it's one of those adult cartoony things. I've never seen it.
Oh, I think you're right. The Walking Dead, which I've never watched.
I think I've watched one episode.
The Big Bang Theory came in at number three.
I like The Big Bang Theory. It probably is overrated. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wouldn't be on any my favorite show
Yeah, no, list. If you were on a deserted island and could only watch one television show, it probably
it's
would
not
be The Big
be
Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory.
The Simpsons at number two. Yeah, which is weird because another really well-written show, honestly, and oftentimes predicts the future. And at number one, an American study looking...
Is that Simpsons or South Park? Oh, Simpsons. Simpsons, right.
An American study looking at the most overrated TV shows of all times ranked Parks and Recreation number one. So
I've watched a few episodes of Parks and Recreation. It's funny, but...
I think we need to go back to the beginning and start, perhaps.
It was never...
Out of context, I didn't really know the characters.
Yeah.
Listen to this little ditty. The most overrated show, according to women, if you did it by sex, was Game of Thrones. And the most overrated show... for men was Friends, which kind of makes sense. And here's another interesting...
How so? Explain that.
Well, I think it's a girl show. It's a chick flick. Isn't it? I thought it was. I'm a senior citizen.
You can just say whatever you want. Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
I thought that when I was in my 40s too, but it makes more sense now. But, speaking of senior citizens, the average person responding to this survey across 50 states who was over the age of 54.
So middle-aged.
Yeah, middle-aged white guy. Well, it doesn't have to be a white guy, but the average person over the age of 54 thinks every single show on the list was overrated.
Get off my lawn. No,
fuck. All right, who do we have to thank, Carol?
Meat Depressed for the song Your Dick. Purple Planet provided our intro and What Does Kevin Think music. Pardon me. We used a clip from Alfred Hitchcock's 1963 movie The Birds. Love Alfred Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. We used a clip of The Swedish Chef from The Muppet Show. Love The Swedish Chef.
Of course.
God, this is all so good. We used a clip from the movie Gran Torino. Got off my lawn. And this episode featured the comedy of Casey Corbin from his Comedy Now special.
And if you want to support this podcast, you can go to paypal.me/grossmisconduct. Gross is spelled G-R-O-S-E. Remember Courtney J? You've heard her songs before. She's the lady from Hawaii, likes to sing political songs. She is going to play us out with her newest song she has entitled Dementia Dawn.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show? I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it!
He said it once, but he had to say it again. Want you to know we can point to an elephant. Yep, he tested best, the stable genius kind. Want you to know he can identify a person, woman, man, camera, TV. Guys,
you can't do that.
This episode of Gross Misconduct was brought to you by Todd's Mechanical, available 24 hours a day for your plumbing and furnace needs. Say NHL and receive $50 off your next bill. Find them online at toddsmech.com or call them at 780-499-7598, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.